For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia. You can also catch Bill on 105.9 FM in Warner Robins and the website, thesuperstations.com, and on the Twitters, at Bill Shanks. Hey, Bill, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you guys?
Thanks for listening to us earlier today. We appreciate that. As David Barbie put on quite the performance.
Yeah, and thanks to Josh Tomlin, I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Yeah.
That was, I tell you what, David, I was in awe of that. I mean, I was driving. I had to drive to Waycross this morning to my mom's house for something. And man, I tell you, y'all kept me awake there. But when 7:30 came and David Barbie went on an Enos Cabell true Hollywood story, I'm like, wow, that's impressive. Now I love that. That was and after that, I started sitting there. Going through trying to think of the Astros starting lineup, especially when you gave me the let them play reference of Bob Watson and
absolutely.
Cesar Cedeno in the movie there.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes. But hey, you brought up that you have an Omar Moreno story, former Pittsburgh Pirates center fielder that I remember they called him Omar the Outmaker. He started out his career as like 100 stolen base guy, and then he petered off pretty fast. But what's your Omar Moreno story?
Well, and I also saw Enos Cabell at spring training because Enos Cabell, when the Astros were in Kissimmee with their spring training complex, they played the Braves a lot, obviously, which was, 10 miles apart. And, it was just kind of weird seeing these guys. I remember seeing Mike Caldwell. Do you remember Mike Caldwell,
oh, yeah.
David, the pitcher for the
Brewers?
Brewers, yep. And I can't remember now who he was coaching for. But when you see these guys who are now older and coaching, and they were kind of your childhood baseball cards, is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I've seen Enos Cabell when he would hang around with the Astros. I don't think he was usually in uniform, but he would always be there. Seems like. But I'm at the Braves spring training complex in their stadium. It's probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they were playing the Pirates, and I'm kind of, I don't know, about 50 feet away, and my buddy Skipper, and he and I are always talking about 70s baseball like y'all were doing earlier. I said, that guy up there, he looks like Omar Moreno. He had one of those flat Pirates hats of 1979 on, and with the stripes and the stars and everything. And, David, the closer I get to him, I'm all of a sudden like 20 feet closer, and I'm like, I turn to Skipper, I'm like, holy crap. And I may have said something else. It is Omar Moreno, and I was just shocked. And I got up there, and sure, and he finished his career with the Braves in 1986. He came to Atlanta with Chuck Tanner, and he was the somewhat leadoff hitter in 1986. But it was just funny, and y'all were doing a few moments ago the pack from now. I didn't know very many of those at all, and I'm telling you. Baseball cards, and you were right about if you're in a rotisserie league, you're obviously going to know more obscure players. But back in the day, and I've said this on my show several times, that I almost am compelled to go get baseball cards because I would know more of the rosters now. Because, David, when we were kids, I'm sure you were the same way. Because of baseball cards, we knew the whole daggum roster.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, we also didn't have Twitter to play on and Facebook to play on. We had nothing to do but entertain ourselves with baseball cards. It's a lot of perfect storm there, I believe, that started that. And we mentioned earlier, Bill, that Baseball Tonight is no longer a thing on ESPN.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, that was appointment television every night at 10 o'clock to go watch Chris Berman break down that night in baseball. And of course, the MLB Network has stuff, and we watch enough Braves to know what's going on, in that little circle, but we don't have access to the nightly baseball highlights like we used to. I kind of miss that.
No, I think you're right. And I used to be really good at trades, remembering trades, and age has eroded that a little bit as I've gotten older. I can't remember them as much, but I used to could remember just for some reason, and I still can some of them, but just obscure trades that happened, because I used to love and still do love trade rumors. And I would also play around with lineups. That's why I'm not going to look on baseball-reference.com of who the second baseman was. I don't think it was still Garner, but I'm that's the only position player I'm missing on the Astros from like 79. But you know, you did things different as kids, and you know, you wrote things down, and we had this board game that me and a buddy of mine, and he was a big Reds fan and I was a Braves fan, and we would play it over the phone. I mean, my God, you know, I mean, I sound like I'm 100 years old when I'm saying stuff like that, but we just love baseball, and if we weren't together playing it, we'd be on the phone playing that stupid game and saying, okay, here comes, you know, Gary Matthews up to the plate and Dale Murphy and Bob Horner, and I don't think kids do that anymore, but people who are in those rotisserie leagues, they do know the personnel a bit more. But I have said that. I mean, I know baseball pretty well, but I mean, some of those guys you were talking about, I didn't know who the heck they were. I was guessing. I'm like wrong every time, so I felt pretty stupid about it too.
I know. I was like, it makes me feel good to hear you say that too, because, and we had people emailing in going, hey, don't worry, I don't know who. These guys are on baseball cards. Like, I'm looking at one. I didn't even get through the whole pack. Teoscar Hernandez. Do you know who that is? Teoscar Hernandez?
Is he an outfielder?
He's an outfielder, yes, for the Blue Jays. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
I didn't know where he's from.
Yeah. Let's see. Corey Seager. Know him. Yadier Molina. Know him. Jose Altuve. I think I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Brandon Crawford. Know him.
Giants.
Actually, the back end of the pack wasn't that bad. Felipe Vasquez.
No clue.
Okay. He's a left-handed pitcher with the Pirates. He was okay with the Nationals. Looks like he's a bullpen guy.
Well, and you know, you were talking about the Dominican players. I mean, that is part of the problem, if you will, is that, like, we could use, like, several names and change the first names to the last names.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, like, two relievers of that kind of player on every team. And it's like, good luck trying to remember all those names, because I can't do it, and it's just tough. It's real difficult,
I was surprised about, like, with that stat about the Pirates have 119. Although this guy's actually Venezuelan, but the Pirates have 119 players from the Dominican in their organization, and that leads the big leagues. That was stunning. That was crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you said that I think, I'm pretty sure, and you can probably Google this, that their Dominican Academy is one of the best.
Yeah.
And that probably explains that, because that's a crazy number. Crazy.
Big time. Big time. Let's talk a little bit about Los Bravos, since we're talking about the Dominican. And let's see, where to be go. I know what I was going to ask you. So, the first four games of the season, the Braves went Teron, Wilson, Wright, and Newcomb as their four starters. These last five games, they've gone Folty, Gausman, Soroka, Teron, and Fried. It's amazing how much the rotation looks different and better in 1 month.
30 days.
Yeah, in 30 days. Now, granted, I know, had some injuries to take care of and get some guys back, but the front end of the pitching looks okay right now, but it is, of course, the back end that everybody wants to talk about. What do you think is going to happen with the bullpen? I mean, not just like, we got to go get Kimbrel, we got to do this. I mean, what do you think is going to ultimately happen here?
I'm interested to see what some of these guys can do. I don't know if they're going to be the answer, so to speak, but I want to see more of Jacob Webb. He didn't do very well last night, but I think he's got good stuff. I'm still, sorry, Logan, not 100% sold that Luke Jackson can keep this up.
That's Ross's boy. I like him too, but that's Ross's guy.
Okay, well, tell Ross. I'm still not convinced. I think he's done great since the first game. There's no doubt about that. But can he do it for 6 months? I don't know.
Right.
I hope so. I think it would be a great thing if he can. You know, but it's like, my gosh, Jerry, the other day you think about the fact that all of a sudden the bullpen has Jerry Blevins, Josh Tomlin, Jacob Webb, and Luke Jackson. Those are four pitchers that on March 20th you never would have thought would have been in the Braves bullpen, because they didn't sign Tomlin until, like, I think the 22nd or 3rd. And it was like, he pitched that last game at Disney on that Saturday before they got out of Florida, and didn't even know if he would be in the Atlanta roster or the Gwinnett roster, and kept him. And now they've gotten Jerry Blevins. I think they're going to ride this for a while. I mean, they're not going to sign Kimbrel. If they do, it's going to be after the draft, which is stupid, I know. But, the other part about this, and someone made a real good point on my show yesterday talking about Kimbrel, which I wish we could have a Kimbrel-free show once in a while, is he's not pitching right now. He's obviously, if he does pitch, he's going to have a prorated deal. He's not going to get like $15 to $20 million for this season, since he's already missed the first 30 games. And if he waits till June, he'll miss even more than that. So he's going to be cheaper, so the Braves could afford that. But his arm's almost also going to be fresher. So whoever gets him is going to not have someone that's, by June 1st or even June 15th, let's say, got 20, 30 appearances. And will that make him even more dangerous and productive in the second part of the year? That's a good point. And I think it's still possible, but I just don't think it's going to happen after the draft. It's stupid, but that's kind of where we're at. And I think he's going to dictate the National League East race. I can tell you that, whoever's going to sign him. And all four of these teams right now have bullpen issues, which is crazy. So, let's see what Jacob Webb can do. Let's see if Luke can keep this up. Let's see if Blevins can help. I love what Tomlin's doing. I'm gonna tell you, when Tomlin got signed, I laughed at that. I'm like, they gotta be kidding. He goes, and he's been a starting pitcher, a four starter for Cleveland for like 6-7 years. Goes to Milwaukee, gets dropped by them, and then they pick him up. I'm like, what are they doing? And because I remember his first game at there at Disney, that last game there on that Saturday, he his stuff was not very impressive to me, but he's done well. So let's see what happens with this, and I'm sure by July 31st, whether they have Kimbrel or not, there'll be a trade.
Bill, last night's lineup was pretty wacky with the noon start today. Acuna gets the day off, Josh Donaldson out, but they moved Swanson up to that number two spot last night. I will not lie to you, I started thinking maybe some positive thoughts about, could this be a long-term thing? I like him in that two spot, or am I just crazy for thinking that could work out in the long run?
No, I love it too. I'm a big proponent of Dansby following Ozzie in the lineup. I think it's exactly what needs to happen, and I think Dansby's improvement at the plate makes even more of a possibility moving forward. I know John Coppola a couple years ago, he talked about an Ozzie Dansby 1-2 punch there at the top of the order, and he envisioned that before he had to depart, and I like it. I love the improvement, obviously, from Dansby and what he's done, and I think when Austin Riley takes over at third base at some point and the current number two hitter is gone, the Dansby's going to be the perfect replacement for him there.
What about Riley? I mean, when you say at some point, what do you mean? Next year, or do you mean this year?
Well, Austin Riley had two home runs yesterday. There was a day game yesterday, one of those 10-35 games.
Yeah.
He had two home runs and two more solo home runs. In the last six games, he's hitting like .539 with five home runs and nine RBI. He's now got seven home runs, 18 RBI in the first month of the season. He's showing that he's ready. I don't know what they're going to do. And obviously, if Donaldson is healthy, he's going to play. But Austin Riley had action last year in AAA. The injury in the middle part of the year kind of hurt him a little bit from getting up there. I think he would have been up there if not for that. But if you don't consider Josh Donaldson, Austin Riley would have been sent back down to AAA to prove to them he was ready or when he was ready. Well, I don't know what more the kid can do, but he's blocked. So I pray they don't trade this guy. I think this kid's going to be – I love him. I just think he's a great young player, great talent, gotten so much better defensively, shows raw power, and, he has those stretches where he'll strike a little bit like some power hitters do, but I think he's going to get better with that, and I just hope they don't trade him. I don't know why they would need to have a trade that big to trade Austin Riley, to be honest with you, and the more – Josh Donaldson's hurt, the I think smaller chance it is for him to be re-signed for the long term after this year. So hopefully that'll mean Austin Riley will take over. But I think he's showing he's ready, but they have no room for him.
Another guy that, I mean, catch us up on Adam Duvall, because I know he'd had some big power numbers for Cincinnati, and he came over to the Braves last year and just it didn't seem like sitting on the bench was suiting him very well. And he's hitting a lot of home runs in Gwinnett this year. Do you think he's a guy that, like, what if, like, Acuna played center and they moved Inciarte? Would Duvall be a guy that could play in left field?
Yes, absolutely, and I wouldn't be against that. If they're going to trade somebody, I wish it would be under Inciarte, to be honest with you, because I think he's got a very tradable contract. He's got a lot of value, even with the issues that he has offensively at times. And I would do it tomorrow. I mean, if they could like find somebody to take in or Inciarte for two good relief pitchers, holy crap, that'd be a dream come true for them, I think, because you'd put Duvall in left field, move Acuna over, and then remember, Christian Pache and Drew Waters, the two 20-year-olds in AA, are tearing up the Southern League, and they're showing they're kind of ready too. Look, if there was not a crowded situation in that outfield right now, Drew Waters and Christian Pache would be in conversation to come up, because you think about what McCann and Frank Coor were in 2005. They were 20 years old, and they were knocking on that door. Of course, they needed a catcher. Johnny Estrada got hurt, and then Raul Mondesi didn't work out in right field for the Braves, and they needed Frank Coor, but there's not that kind of need right now because of the fact that they've got three outfielders. Marquez is doing great. Acuna is Acuna. Ender is there. And then Matt Joyce has been pretty good off the bench for them, and there's Duvall with eight home runs in AAA, proving that he's still got some life in him. And I think you're right. I think it's all about the fact that he could not adjust real quickly to that reserve role, and now when he's getting regular playing time in AAA, he's tearing it up.
Talking with Bill Shanks about the Braves. If we're done with the Braves, I did want to ask one other thing. So are you good, Logan?
I've got all the Braves.
You got to talk about Maxie. You got to talk about Maxie for a minute, though. How about Max Fried?
Oh my gosh. What a man.
Before you get into his just hellacious curveball, as you say, what about that finger issue last night? Is that something we have to worry about? I think he was, like, cutting himself on his curveball.
Yeah, that's a concern that you got to have with Max, because he's obviously he's had the blister, and, I mean, I know he had a little issue with it. You know, you call it a blister, cut, whatever it is. That curveball is so great that it rubs his fingers raw, and that's his problem. And it's like what do you do? You know, you can't back off that curveball because it's ridiculous. And yet he's got to take care of his skin kind of with that. So it's a concern. You don't want it to pop up because God knows you don't want him coming out of that rotation. He's just.
Nope.
And I'm not surprised. I've been on the Max Fried bandwagon and Soroka for that matter. I mean, I just think these two kids, you know, they're smart. And look, a lot of times when you guys interview people too, sometimes you interview someone and they come off real impressive and smart, and then you're like, boy, you kind of have a little man crush on them. You're like, wow, these kids are really good. You hope they'll do well because they're intelligent and they got it together. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But these two, I mean, I've always been blown away by how they talk about pitching. They're not just guys out there who are pitching. They are real pitchers who love what they do and love to talk about it. And I think the core of this pitching staff is with those two kids. And to have one lefty like Max and a right-hander like Soroka, I mean, my gosh, that's hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to know what 40% of the Atlanta rotation for the next 5-6 years is going to be all about with those two. And Max was great again last night.
Yeah, that's funny. Are you talking about like trying to lock them up like the Braves did with Acuna and Albies? And would they do contracts like those guys did?
Well, I don't know about that. I think with a pitcher, you got to wait a little bit longer to make sure they're going to be healthy, and you want a little bit of a track record. I think Soroka, I think the age, you know, it's like the reason that Ozzy and Acuna's contracts are so incredible is because of how young they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dansby's 25. Dansby's not going to get a 9-year contract because they're not going to gamble that he's going to be that kind of player that he is right now when he's in his early 30s. So he, you know, he could get a contract, but I don't think it's going to be longer than 5 years. And I think with a pitcher, though, you're going to wait a little bit longer. You know, Folty might have been in that category to think about something, but then he had an elbow issue. So they're not going to, they got to, you know, make sure he's going to be okay before they would even talk about that with him. And because I thought last winter, I thought, you know, that Folty comes out and repeats his 2018 year, they may come back in a year and try to lock him up in something. And now with the elbow, you've got to, that's just a little bit of a red flag. So I think pitchers have to prove themselves a little bit more through a year or two to kind of prove what they can do for the long term before you lock them up. But I don't think there's any doubt that you know, you're going to think about it with those two, because there's just talent oozing for those two. There's no doubt.
All right, Bill, good stuff. I was trying to think. Now I've forgotten what I was going to ask you. As Steve Martin once said, it must not have been very important or you would have remembered it.
You know, I'm just when y'all were talking 70s baseball, I mean, I tell you, I joke with you, I text you, I said, let's just talk 70s baseball all the time, because I'm running through like different 70s players and I'm just seeing their baseball cards. For some reason, Andre Thornton keeps on coming to my mind, the big first baseman for the Cleveland Indians.
Oh,
and Tom Verizer and you know, just unbelievable players that they were there. Tom Brookins from the Tigers for some reason.
I'm telling you, when we were in Kentucky a few weeks ago and Doug Flynn walks in and we're talking to him. I mean,
Doug Flynn?
Yeah, did I tell you about this?
No.
No, okay. So he's from Lexington. He lives in the Lexington area and he does some of their like ESPN Plus TV. So he walks in our booth to just, you know, before the games, you know, we talk to the other guys, broadcasters,
right,
and get a little, you know, off the record scouting report on the players and stuff, you know, his trade notes and stuff like that. And
sure,
he walks in and Jeff goes, you know, he introduced himself to us and Jeff goes, are you Doug Flynn that used to play for the Reds and the Mets? He's like, yes, I am. And we were both just like, oh my God. And I literally felt like I was talking to one of my baseball cards. And he was telling us some, I mean, he told us a couple of off-the-air stories I'll pass along, but let's just say hanging out with, you know, he was his rookie year was with the Big Red Machine. So
yeah,
he had some interesting Pete Rose stories to pass along to us.
But, I mean, he was in the Tom Seaver trade, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was Doug Flynn, Pat Zachary. And Pat Zachary was a bearded pitcher for the Mets.
Yeah, yeah.
Who went from the Reds to the Mets. Doug Flynn, Pat Zachary, and I can't remember. See, here I go, the memories.
I know, I'll have to look it up. But he couldn't have been nicer. And he was because we were like, oh, we got your baseball cards. He's like, hey, you need to hold on to them because they're up to 3 cents a piece now. I mean, he was hilarious. But that was just,
all right, now, do you know who his late 70s double play partner with the Mets was back in those days? By the way, managed by Joe Torre. Do you remember, by the way, the shortstop of that team?
No.
You're going to know it when I say it. You're going to know it.
It wasn't Felix the Cat Meon, was it?
It was not. It was Frank Tavares.
Frank Tavares. Well, he told us a story. I think he said he was playing. I can't remember who he said he was playing for, but he won a gold. He actually won a gold glove one year, and he said the shortstop for the team he was playing for got hurt, and they moved him over to short for the last third of the season, and they did it on purpose because he wouldn't have enough games to qualify at second base to win the gold glove and get a bonus.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? That is just,
That stuff happened all the time.
I know. That's incredible.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah, I could see that happening, but he, I mean, those guys, you just, you know, the Braves had a pitching coach in there. System. He died a couple of years ago, but his name was Bill Champion, and he was a Phillies reliever, and I didn't really remember him. He really kind of pitched in the big leagues right before I started watching baseball, and I've got his baseball card now, like from the 76 top set, which I didn't. The 78 top set was my first set, and my first card, by the way, was the legendary Biff Pocoroba.
Yes.
And but you know, Champ would tell stories of some of those teams back in the day, because he was like, he was with the Brewers and the Phillies. Like, Jack McKeon was actually his AAA manager in Richmond for the Braves.
Wow.
And so he was telling me some Jack McKeon stories that were, I mean, but you know, you just, but they're they're part of your childhood because you just see these. I mean, I hope others can relate to what I'm saying. But I mean, when there are people that play the 70s and 80s, and I just see their baseball card. You know, I just see their front of their baseball. I mean, when I said Frank Tavares, I could see him on deck in like the 1980 set with a Met. It's crazy.
As soon as you said his name, that's what popped in my brain. I totally get what you're saying there. Which, by the way, since we were grilling David Barbie on players whose last name started with a C, one guy left off who made the final cut but didn't get in was Clay Carroll. So that was another guy who pitched for the Big Red Machine.
Didn't he pitch for the Braves?
He may have pitched for the Braves. I think you're right.
I think he did. Yeah, but he was more of a Reds pitcher than Braves pitcher. He was a little before my time. But I tell you, the 78, 79, 80, like, you know.
Yeah.
In 81, Don Russ and Fleer joined the Topps crew, so you had three different sets, which made my mom really mad because now then she had to – she had to buy three boxes of baseball cards instead of just Tops, but I mean it's great memories of baseball. I thought even as a 49-year-old man, I need to go start collecting baseball cards again because I will know more about every Dominican pitcher in the bullpen in the major leagues if I do that.
You'll know that Felipe Vasquez was 4-2 last year with 37 saves. By the way, that guy had 37 saves for the Pirates, and we can't name him. If he had 37 saves for the Pirates in 79, we'd be gushing over him.
Well, he's no Kent DeColvy, but
that's right.
You know, I always used to love, though, when you'd see on the back of the baseball card someone from Georgia. Like, I remember, this just came to my mind, but I remember seeing the Bucky Dent, who, of course, had a famous middle name, was born in Savannah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just those little things that when you read the back of your baseball card, you would kind of know. And it's good memories, man. Sometimes I'll tell people they already think I'm crazy and need to be in the home, but sometimes I'll say, you know, some nights I wish I could just go home and play with my baseball card. Some people get that, some people don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Bill, great stuff, my man. And thank you for checking up with us way down in the cross, down in Waycross. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Bill Shanks. Went a smidge long.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.